Good evening, everyone. Glad to see everyone out. So if you know me, you know that I am not really the greatest at planning or remembering dates. Let's say Trek, for example, at Awana. Last year was a bit of a learning experience for everyone involved. I'm the director, and a lot of other groups have secretaries. I did not. Len made sure that I had one this year. Let's put it that way. And it's a wonderful thing. And you'll know if you're one of my close friends, oftentimes you'll ask, oh, what are you doing Thursday? And I'm like, oh, nothing, absolutely nothing. We can hang out. And then Wednesday night rolls around, and I'm like, oh, I already had plans. I'm sorry, I forgot. Because I'm atrocious at keeping track of my own schedule and forgetting things. Thank goodness God gave me Sarah. She's great for keeping track of things. I'm sure other men can attest to their wives being wonderful in that area. But I can be really forgetful. Thankfully, so many times in the Bible, God proves over and over again, he is not. He doesn't need a helper. He doesn't need anyone else to remind him of the little details. And he remembers everything. You know, some people are good with at least remembering that they have plans, but maybe forget details about what the plans are, or forget maybe they have to register or something like that. But God remembers all the little details. And as we read in Exodus about the Passover, we'll see that this isn't just one story that the Israelites had festivals for and celebrated for a while. This was laying the foundation for what became the greatest festival, the greatest Passover, if you will, in Christ on the cross. So I'm just going to bow and open in prayer, and then we'll read the Bible. Thank you, Lord, for giving us this time together and giving us your word to delve into, to learn more about you and to learn about your personality and your traits, and most importantly, what you've done for us. Thank you that you have given your son as a sacrifice on the cross, but not only that, you've given us all these breadcrumbs, these details in history to remind us that you've planned it all and you've remembered all of your promises. And we can have faith that you will be there with us in the future. Thank you, Lord, and I pray your blessing upon the rest of this evening. In Jesus' name, amen. So, if you'll turn with me, we're not going to read one large section. I'll be jumping around a little bit, but we're going to be starting in Exodus 11, verses 4 to 6. Then Moses said, "Thus says the Lord, about midnight I will go out into the midst of Egypt, and all the firstborn in the land of Egypt shall die, from the firstborn of Pharaoh who sits on his throne, even to the firstborn of the female servant who is behind the handmill, and all the firstborn of the animals. Then there shall be a great cry throughout all the land of Egypt, such as was not like it before, nor shall be like it again." So a little bit of context. The Israelites, also known as God's people, are enslaved to the Egyptians, and Moses and Aaron, through God's bidding and God's power, have brought 9 other plagues to Egypt, trying to get the Pharaoh to release the Israelites from their bondage. This is the 10th and final plague that eventually forces Pharaoh to release the Israelites from captivity. But here we see God explaining, well, to the people through Moses, that he is going to go out and take the firstborn son, who's the most important child, if you will, of every family, because he would be the one to inherit everything. He's the one that carries the name and the property and everything once the parents pass away. And God is saying he is going to smite the firstborn of every family. And there will be a great cry. And it doesn't say everyone but, you know, the lowly, or everyone but Pharaoh, or ever, just says all households will be affected. And this is really amazing to think that God cared about the Israelites, but he didn't say only some people. It was everyone will be affected, great and small, in this kingdom. And then, you know, Pharaoh will let you go free. And just like in Egypt, in Genesis 3, after Adam and Eve ate the fruit of the garden, sin entered the world. And it wasn't just the great or the lowly that sin entered into. It was all. Romans 3:10 says, "For none are righteous, no, not even one." And there are parallels in that. This entire story of the Passover is a parallel for Christ. Because in Egypt, it was considered everyone was sinful. And it does say that in verse 7, "But against none of the children of Israel shall a dog move its tongue, against man or beast, that you may know that the Lord does make a difference between the Egyptians and Israel." But I think that that isn't because solely the Israelites were God's people. That's because they had faith in him and they obeyed him. When God said, "This is how you will be unaffected," they listened. Whereas the Egyptians didn't know of these ordinances that God outlined. So it affected all Egyptians, just as sin affected all of us. But like the Israelites, God's people are saved. Today, like the Israelites, God's people are saved because he has given us the sacrifice of his son. We see that the Passover in chapter 12 was very specific in what had to happen. So if we read chapter 12, verse 5, "Your lamb shall be without blemish, a male of the first year. You may take it from the sheep or from the goats. Now you shall keep it until the 14th day of the same month. Then the whole assembly of all the congregation of Israel shall kill it at twilight. And they shall take some of the blood and put it on the two doorposts and on the lintel of the houses where they eat it." This is very, very specific. The lamb has to be without blemish. You can't take the lamb that you wouldn't want to give to a guest or you wouldn't want to give your father or as a celebration. It's kind of the, oh, you know, we'll do this when it doesn't really matter. And you're not going to sacrifice something you wouldn't really want. You're going to sacrifice a male sheep or goat, and it's going to be less than a year old, so it's going to be young. It's going to be new in life. And then it's going to be done at twilight, right before the night. And most importantly, they're going to take the blood from this sacrifice and they're going to spread it on the doorposts and the lintel. And this is to show a few things. The first, it's to show God, we will obey you and we have faith that your way is best. This, if you told pretty much anyone, you know, kill a lamb and smear some blood on the door and then the angel of death is going to pass over you, you think, this is really weird. I don't know really why this would be important. But the Jews obeyed and God passed over them in the night. They were unaffected by this plague. As well, by putting it on the door, everyone who enters the house or everyone who walks by the house sees the blood on the door and lintel. They see the Israelites' faith to God and their obedience. And this, the Egyptians might not have seen this immediately. They were probably crying out after, but in the next few days or weeks, they would probably have to go into the Israelite section of Egypt where the Israelites were staying. And I know they looked and they saw all of this blood on the doorposts. And that was a witness to them that God is the Savior, but that it took blood to prevent that household from being affected and losing their firstborn son. It wasn't freely Passover. It was because of a sacrifice, a blood sacrifice of a perfect lamb. And here today, it's wonderful because that was a Passover for enslavement to man. But here today we have the enslavement to sin. Everyone. And yet God said, don't worry, just like in Egypt, where I saved the Israelites, I saved my people, I'll save my people again from an even greater tragedy. And it's amazing the parallels. It was on the first day of the Passover. We read in Mark 14 that it was the first day of the Passover that the Lord instituted the Lord's Supper. It says, now on the first day of unleavened bread, when they killed the Passover lamb, his disciples said to him, where do you want us to go and prepare that you may eat the Passover? And then skipping down to verse 22. And as they were eating, Jesus took bread, blessed and broke it, and gave it to them, and said, take, eat, this is my body. Then he took the cup, and when he had given thanks, he gave it to them, and they all drank from it. And he said to them, this is my blood of the new covenant, which is shed for many. Assuredly, I say to you, I will no longer drink of the fruit of the vine until that day when I drink it new in the kingdom of God. And when they had sung a hymn, they went out to the Mount of Olives. So you can see here, God remembered all the little details. He instituted a festival to ensure that the Israelites remembered his faithfulness to them hundreds of years ago. At the same time, every year, they would sacrifice a lamb and they would remember what God had done for them. And here, hundreds of years later, God is instituting a new remembrance, a new order that we celebrate here at Bethel every Sunday morning. Other churches do it more or less frequently, but basically, we remember what Christ did for us on the cross by taking the bread and drinking the wine or grape juice. And this is basically a greater Passover. As sin affected all of the world, it affected more people than the plague affecting the Egyptians. And so this Passover, this salvation, affects so many more people. But just like the Israelites, we need to have faith and be obedient to God's will in order for him to pass over spiritual death. Because, just like in Egypt, there is death should we not have faith. There is spiritual death for our sin. There is separation from God. And we need this sacrifice. All of the Egyptian households were affected. There was a great cry, a multitude of people that lost a son, a brother. And here, we don't think about it as often, but there is going to be a day where all of us are in heaven rejoicing because we aren't going to feel the sting of death. We aren't going to taste the pain of separation from Christ because he died for us and we can have faith that he saved us from our sin. He paid that cost, the penalty of death. But there are those that don't know this, that don't know the love of God. And that's our job. Our job is to go out faithfully obeying God and sharing that love, whether it be verbally sharing with a brother or sister, encouraging them, whether it be evangelizing to someone who doesn't know Christ, or whether it be simply living a loving, caring life. Because people notice the difference. Whether it's not swearing at work, or whether it's kindly going out of your way for someone but not asking anything in return, people notice this and they'll ask, what's different? What's different? And because of Christ passing over us, Christ showing his love for us, Christ taking our penalty for us, we can then show that same love to all those around us. It's amazing that God provides all of these little details, God, but also the big picture. He never loses sight of the big picture. And as we go about our daily lives, sometimes evangelizing can seem difficult. What if they don't accept it? What if they don't want to hear it? what if I get fired for it? I lose a friend over it? What if I have a falling out with my father or family for it? I'm sure all of us at some point have come face to face with not wanting to evangelize or not wanting to do something for the Lord, but realizing God has loved us so much so that he gave his son. Just as the Egyptians were forced to lose their sons, their firstborn sons, God willingly lost his firstborn son for us. And that can keep the fire lit in every situation. That can encourage us to go forth and share that love with everyone, no matter what the circumstance. And then when you worry, you can realize God made the Passover hundreds of years ago in detail, knowing that on a Passover, hundreds of years later, that very first day after the lamb was sacrificed, God would institute that Lord's Supper for us to remember, the greater sacrifice. The first day, it was on the Passover that the Lord's Supper was instituted. It was on the Passover festival that the Lord was crucified for us. That's not coincidence. God remembered the details that he had laid hundreds of years earlier and then made them come to fruition because he knows the future. He has plans for the future, and they will unfold according to his will. And when you realize that, he is in control. He is knowing of all the details of your life. It's a lot easier to put your faith and trust in him. I don't know what's going to happen tomorrow, and sometimes it's really easy to worry about it. And then when you realize it's in God's hands, it's a lot easier to smile, look up, and say, God is with me, and continue on in the day. Not to say that you will never be stressed, but when you come to the Lord, it'll be just a wonderful feeling of peace. Because you know it's a testament to God that he has kept all the promises, all the little details over the course of history. And the Passover is only one of many, many examples where God came through on a promise, where God fulfilled what he said, and where God kept all the little details in line. So we've had everyone sinning, whether it be all of Egypt was affected or all of humankind is affected. We've had everyone can be saved. Anyone who sacrifices the lamb when it comes to the Israelites in Egypt, or anyone who believes in Christ's sacrifice on the cross in today's age. We have all those who didn't know the Lord will experience loss, and there will be a great cry. Just as today, for those who don't know the Lord, upon their death, there will be a great cry, great tribulation. And now we can go forth, just as Israelite left Egypt afterwards, praising God, keeping the festival of unleavened bread and the festival of the Passover in memory of what God's done, we can now go forth and share that love of the gospel, the Lord's Supper, with all those around us and remember what he's done. The blood on the doorpost was a statement to anyone. The Israelites obeyed, they showed that God loved them, and they were set free. Christ's blood on the cross, the wood of the cross, sets us free today. And there are so many things that are wonderful about God's planning. But the Passover door kept God's wrath out. Yet if we open the door of our hearts, it will let God's love in. Lord, thank you for giving us such a wonderful Savior. Thank you for giving us details throughout history that all point to Christ, that reaffirm you had it planned and under control in all circumstances. Thank you that when you led the Israelites out of Egypt, that what you were really showing is that you will lead all of the sinners out of bondage. Lord, thank you that you are willing to come down from heaven and sacrifice your son, paint his blood flowing from his side on that cross, the wood of the cross, so that any who believe in you, believe in your sacrifice, believe in your payment, can be saved and can come to know you and your love for eternity, singing your praises. Lord, thank you. Thank you that when our faith falters, we can look at all of the breadcrumbs you have left, that there is no way it would be coincidence, but it reaffirms your sovereignty, your divine power, and the fact that you know the future and have a plan. Lord, I pray that as we go from here, that we could share your love with those around us, that we would have faith that you would be with us, and that we can show the love that you poured out for us to everyone. Thank you, Lord, for giving us your word and your son. In whose name we pray. Amen.